Well, good morning, everyone. It's a Thursday morning, and I'm back here every Thursday to talk about tourism special events. And today, we're going to talk about downtown Tucson. And I have two wonderful guests, Mark Irvin. Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you, Tom.
And Curtis Dawson. Good morning.
Good
Curtis.
Morning.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys, our fellow Rotarians and longtime management here of real estate in the community. And Curtis is the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona YMCA, as there are more than one YMCAs in our community, thank goodness. And on the phone is co-host Tim Emmerstedt. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Tim, how are you?
Now, I know, Tim, you're good friends with Mark, and Tim told me a little secret the other day. He said that I think in his career, both of you guys have interviewed him for jobs in the past. I don't know if you remember that or not, he didn't get those jobs, but he doesn't hold that against you, right, Tim?
No grudges.
But he ended up at the Desert Museum as a wonderful VP of marketing and everything else. And then, of course, I had the opportunity for Tim to be my director of sales and catering at Old Tucson. So we're amongst friends today, and it's a very important topic. One of the things, though, however, we do before we get started, guys, is that Tim has a mission, and his mission is to tell us his top two special events this weekend. It's an interesting, when we went and search Visit Tucson, and this is Tucson, our sponsors on special events here in town, we didn't really find any huge event going on during Labor Day. So, of course, I remember my old Tucson days. We always had a concert on Labor Day and the 4th of July, because everybody else felt that they were all leaving town, but we wanted to make sure those that were staying here, we provided some new kind of entertainment. But there are a couple of things that are going on that, Tim, you want to talk about just for a brief moment before we get going and talking about downtown Tucson?
We've got Chillin' at the Chule. You can check out live music, spirits, and bites at Tohono Chule's summer series. On Saturdays, they partner with the Children's Museum of Oro Valley to provide family-friendly nature play. It's every Friday and Saturday. This is the last weekend for it. At Tohono Chule, cost is free. Just bring some money for something to eat. You know, Patrick Fahey is the chef out there and does a great job. And grab one of his prickly pear margaritas. And then we have the last cool summer nights at the Desert Museum, one of my favorite events in Tucson. Hate to see that close up for the year, but it's traditionally the end of summer. So 6 to 10 p.m. at Saturdays, this Saturday, at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Just a fantastic way to experience the desert in a little bit cooler environment. And all the docents come out, and great animal interpretations. It's just a fantastic way to spend your evening. And then we have the Downtown Tucson Guided Walking Tours by Strolls and Stories Tours, taking place Wednesday, September 3rd, 8:30 a.m. And a good way to learn a little bit more about our downtown. And you can find all this information at thisistucson.com and visittucson.org. They've got complete calendars, pricing, everything you need to know.
Well, thank you, Tim, and thank you to Visit Tucson and the Tucson Media Partners for providing that information. And 250th birthday has been celebrated, a year-long celebration, Mark and Curtis. And, you know, the actual birthday, it's interesting how they designated the birthday when the Presidio San Agustin del Tucson, Hugo O'Connor, if you know the history, August 20th in 1775. So that's how we kind of get the 250th birthday. I had to do a little bit of research on that, because there's a number of historical facts of how did Tucson happen, and how long has it been around, and what really was the big project or the big happening of when it became the beginning of an urban city here in Arizona. Of course, it used to be the capital, I guess territorial capital of Arizona. So, and somewhere along the line, it moved over, to Phoenix. But I think there's an opportunity here to talk a little bit about the overall theme is urban tourism, because last two shows, we've been talking about different kinds of tourism. Last week talked about ecotourism with former executive director of the Desert Museum, and Craig Ivani. You probably know him, and he's very involved in continuing the conservation and preservation of especially everything to do with water. And it was a really interesting conversation, but I grew up in tourism. Mostly with the importance of having a downtown. And these two gentlemen have been part of downtown for many, many years. And we have a kind of a tradition here that we want to learn a little bit about each person that's talking today. And so I'm going to start, if it's okay, Curtis, with Mark. And if you could tell us a little bit and segue into why downtown has been so important to you.
Well, I recall when we had a Hugo O'Connor bar downtown at the Manning House, so I go back a little ways with that before Rio bought it. Anyway, downtown I think is an important piece of any community. I think it's hard to not have a heartbeat, and Curtis and I have talked about this many times. In just about any community that I ever went to, there were a number of things that were hub, and YMCA was always a big part of that. I get associated a lot with, being a Boys and Girls Club guy. I will tell you that's great. I don't have any problem with that moniker, but I grew up in a YMCA, and, that was really what I remember as a kid growing up was, being a Y kid. So
yes.
I have a, strong appreciation for that. But, I think downtown is, you're just kind of talking about tourism. I was thinking about the Y as I was driving in. You could just go downtown and do a tourism, just go in and seeing the murals. And, I'll just start with one that got put up at the Y. And I think some of the ones that have gone up recently, like across the street, the tallest swirl cactus mural in the world, I think is totally cool. If people haven't seen that, they've made a mistake. If they haven't gone and seen some of Joe Padgett's stuff that he's done, and others, by the way, he's very prolific and extremely talented. But I think there's, a number of people that are focusing on murals. And, to me, just walking downtown and seeing the murals, you can go from one end of downtown to the other, jump on the streetcar, and you'll just be exhausted by all the great opportunities that you see. So, I think downtown's an important piece of any community. And, I was all around when the sidewalks rolled up and there was nothing downtown. And I think that's one of the reasons that a number of us got involved in trying to have downtown return. So that ship has sailed for me. I haven't been involved in Rio Nuevo for, over 2.5 years. And I think it's under great leadership, continues to. It's an incredible board of all volunteers. I know as somebody who's been there, done that, you get a little bit of heat sometimes for maybe some decisions you make. And I will tell you, those are all made in the spirit of economic development. And I think a lot of people just don't understand what Rio Nuevo is all about, what their mission is. And I'm candidly proud of what I see the folks do. And one of the reasons I felt comfortable stepping away is I knew, who was still going to be there and what that organization was going to continue to become.
Now we're going to talk more about Rio Nuevo and the things that it's accomplished. You were there for 12 years on the board,
exactly.
And it was. We'll talk a little bit about why you stepped down, because the time was right, and I think in the sense to have new blood come in and what they're doing. And Fletcher mentioned that the other day of how the board has changed, all for the good. Curtis, You're here. You've been the regional, is it director is the right word? But you've been the boss of all of the YMCAs in Southern Arizona. I've got to know you, we all did, when you were the president of Rotary recently. And we all knew you had a sense of humor, but those hour and a half meetings went pretty fast most of the time. But I think get to know a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, I grew up in Western Washington. I've been here in Tucson for almost 9 years. Growing up in Western Washington, 87 inches of rain a year. I've almost dried out now that I've been in the desert this long. But grew up a small town, very small town. The entire county was 60,000 people. And started working at the Y part-time at the front desk. Was never looking for a career, just a part-time job while going to community college. Fell in love with what the Y does. And, you know, when you keep raising your hand and saying, I'll do that, and willing to learn and willing to ask questions and showing up early, you know, I've just been really blessed in my career with the YMCA. So I was the CEO of my last Y starting in 2008 and been here since 17 and just love the work that we do. And at the end of the day, the YMCA is about relationships. And here in Tucson, we've generations of relationships. You know, we haven't been here all the way back 250 years, but since 1914, and doing good work, changing lives, and for so many people. And it's a blessing to be here in Tucson.
So I want to learn, we're going to come back from the break and learn a little bit more about Curtis. We're going to take our first break. This is The Morning Voice, and we're on 10:30 a.m. as well as YouTube and Facebook Live. So tune on in, and you can see one of the, our beautiful guests today. We're back. Luckily, we turned the cameras off during the break, but we do have some powerful conversations during the break, and we're back, and we have two great guests today, Mark Irvin, who's Mark Irvin Commercial Real Estate, and knows a lot about what's going on here in the community, especially downtown, and Curtis Dawson, who's the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona YMC. We're just going to pick up a little bit, Curtis, where you left off. It's great to hear, because I'm one of those guys that started out the bottom of an amusement park, cleaning bathrooms, sweeping. I had a thing called the shark, where I pushed it around on the midway every morning about 6 o'clock and made sure the park was all clean and everything. Now, when I came out of it, I was completely full of dust. took a shower and then ran the Rocco plane. You know, so I kind of started out like you. You know, just learning what it means to help people have fun, and I've been doing that ever since then. But let's pick it up from now. You worked at the Y, okay, and when did you move to Tucson?
I pulled into Tucson December 29th, 2016, and started to hit this YMCA just a few days later. So my wife and I, you know, we've been married for over 26 years and never thought we would leave our hometown, but I guess we decided we were ready for an adventure, and we fell in love with Tucson quickly. Tucson is... Where we're coming from is a big city, but it doesn't act or feel like a big city. It still acts like a small town, and all the pros and cons of acting like a small town, that's Tucson. And Tucson is a relationship town, and we just, we're foodies. We love the food. And, you know, when you apply to work for a nonprofit, it's a group of volunteers that are doing the interviewing, and I always say volunteers will hire anybody, so I got the job. It was really good for me, and quickly, you know, lived here for 6 months downtown before my wife and my girls moved, and I loved it, you know, and it just the food, the community, the people. Got to meet Mark early on when I got here, and so blessed that I got to do that, because he's a connector, and he opened so many doors for me to meet so many more people, which has allowed the Y to do what we've done since I've been here the last you know, almost 9 years.
I got lucky and met him before he even accepted the job. I was asked by the YMCA board to come and do a meet and greet with their three shortlisted candidates. And so I had a chance to meet him and his wonderful wife, before he accepted the job, yeah.
So you been working downtown then since 2016, you said? Okay, and Mark, you're in the Rio Nuevo District, okay. How long have you been associated and or worked downtown?
Well, I moved here in 86, and I have been downtown, moved downtown in 1995, and I've been either downtown or in the on the Broadway corridor pretty much since then. You know, I just kind of always felt of, you know, I should probably be in the district. So, yeah, since 95, I've been, you know, quote, in the district.
Right. Now, and I've been downtown since 2001. Working for the county. I've had six offices downtown. Mr. Huckleberry, my boss, loved to do musical offices as he took over some of the important buildings downtown, and it's helped renovate almost every one of them. I mean, the one 130 West Congress is, completely renovated. And the courthouse, I think, is coming, you know, and took over the Bank of America building and built the service center, put parking garages in. So clearly, I think, Mr. Huckleberry could be known as a developer of downtown. When we brought the new economic development group here, it was important to Steve Lynn and I and Chuck. And Kendall Burt, you might recall, economic development. It was very important that we brought, which became the known as TRIO downtown, to start its service to the community and to help grow the community. We felt we needed to have them here in downtown. So the old ballroom for the Pioneer Hotel was renovated by a local group of three folks. Here in town, developers, and I know a lot of people don't know is that that the ballroom and the subsequent area around the ballroom of Pioneer Hotel was renovated by local dollars. Pima County was part of that, but it was mostly private sector dollars to the tune of $2 million. So we took the old dance floor, soaked, water-soaked, stained dance floor off of the Pioneer Ballroom and renovated it into some great offices.
Rotary Club of Tucson used to meet there decades ago.
The Mound Oyster Club in the hallways had a little teeny ink mural. And so that met there. And there's lots of stories, of course, probably about the ballroom at the Pioneer Hotel. But we were in a historical building, and we really appreciate it. And I got sent over to help get TRIO up and running as part of the county liaison program. And now, of course, it's morphed into Sun Corridor, and now it's the Chamber of Southern Arizona. So, you know, the downtown was very relevant and has continued to be relevant to me as I'm in my sixth office now. Fletcher McCusker, you'll hear his name several times today, was very instrumental in moving his business down here. And was it 2014 or something like that? Or I can't remember exactly the date that he opened up reopened another business here downtown. And that's where I office now, the building. It's owned by Peach Properties. And you know them, of course. And it's been really... living, working, playing downtown is something you can do now. Since one of the renaissances, when some of the buildings started to be either renovated or torn down and built, and Fletcher told us the other day that there's now over 4,000 home units. I'm not sure what the right term is because you don't want to use bedrooms, but over 4,000 folks now are living downtown. And do you remember when the main street guys came down here to our community and tried to explain to us how important downtown was as being a focal point of Tucson?
And I don't really think we needed to tell us how important downtowns could
be. You're absolutely right.
But, you know, during the break, you'd kind of ask, you know, when did you think that kind of renaissance downtown started? And, you know, I think it started with a number of things that all seemed to come together at the same time. First one was, I think, the, you know, Rio Nuevo version 2 that the state took over and appointed a bunch of us to step in. And I think that was, you know, once the group got its act together and, you know, got out of being litigious and focused on what we need to be doing in economic development, a lot of stuff happened. I don't think the streetcar has really got the recognition that it deserves and how it's provided connectivity. I think people kind of forget about that. You know, they forget it's came to us as a federal grant, and our former police chief, is the one that was on point. He'd never done it before, and I think you look at all the pieces with that, and it just really worked out well. That was a huge piece.
Well, we'll be right back with Mark and Curtis, and we're going to learn more about when did this all start, this downtown residence? This is the Morning Voice, and we'll be right back. Yeah. Okay, good morning, and welcome to the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Tomorrow, Dr. Ackerley will be here talking about all the wonderful things that are happening at the University of Arizona, and he also seems to throw in a success story of a small business here in the community as well. Now, we're in the studio today, and my friend Tim Vermerstedt is sitting at home and enjoying, Good Morning America and of course, this Morning Voice. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Would you like to ask Mark or Curtis a question? Because I know you asked me to do that in advance.
Curtis, I want to thank you. I moved to Tucson in 1983, and that was a year of a major flood in Tucson, and I rode my BMX bike. I'm an East Sider, and I rode my BMX bike to the Pantano and Broadway Wash and watched an apartment complex slip into the wash, and I'm thinking, where did my parents bring me? So I rode around the corner, and there was a YMCA, the Ott YMCA on Prudence. And I just worked out for a couple hours. So I don't know if that YMCA is still there, but...
Yes, it's still there on Prudence, between Broadway and 22nd. It's serving a lot of kids and families. We just had finished a busy summer there with day camp and swim lessons and all of that. But it's a thriving Y.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a refuge for me after seeing an entire apartment complex slide into the Pantano Wash. I'm like, I need to work out. And they let me in and took care of me, so it was nice. So,
yeah, we help raise a lot of kids. We try to partner with parents and guardians and schools, and our goal is for them to reach their fullest potential. So we want them reading at level at third grade and on a trajectory to graduate high school, and teaching them the values of honesty, caring, respect, and responsibility, and getting them around positive adult role models, and that's what it's all about.
Good for you, and good for us.
Yeah, great story, Tim and Curtis. Before we went on the break, we're just kind of starting to talk a little more about the Renaissance and our Rio Nuevo and all of this accomplishments that have happened under their leadership. Clearly, Mark, you were there for 12 years and gave a wonderful guidance to Fletcher as he steered the committee into all of the developments that have taken place here. And I think if I recall, again, 90% of this renovation has been with private sector money, but it wouldn't have started or happened without Rio Nuevo. Can you just tell a quick story about how Rio Nuevo, and if there's a way to summarize this, and got all of these folks to invest into Tucson?
Well, I think it was really clear that, you can use whatever numbers you'd like to use. Back then, everybody said $250 million, so we just used that. Not that it was a good number. Really closer to probably $200 million. Not that the old board should be proud of that. But we've just, everybody said, oh, they wasted $200 million. So when we all got involved and you know, got past all the arguing and stuff and got her head down to do stuff. We said, how much money do we have? And we basically said we were going to have about $50 million. And then we got into a discussion how you turn 50 into 250. And you better find somebody with 200,000. So we got into a partnership discussion. Fletcher spent a bunch of time in San Diego looking at that model and some others. And we just decided that, you know, we were going to be that last piece in a development. You know, go get your deal approved. And then, you know, as you're struggling with debt service coverage ratios and this, that, and the other, Nuevo could step in to be that last piece to kind of help you, you know, get that deal done. So I think, you know, what Rio Nuevo did is, you know, showed people what was possible. And I think people just wanted to, you know, come downtown and be a part of that renaissance. I mean, Fletcher with his former company was, you know, very involved in just, you know, putting his money where his mouth is and coming downtown and what have you. But, you know, I just think there's a lot of things that happened with that renaissance. And I'm not sure you can just point to one thing. I mean, the hotels are huge, you know, to bring in, you know, four hotels plus is pretty incredible. I think the TCC renovation is, you know, just off the charts. I think what's happened at government, the exact same situation. Just a lot of positive stuff I think has happened downtown. And a lot of it is, you know, the private sector.
Yes. Let's channel a little bit more on the TCC, because when I moved here in 1997, it seemed like that there were, you know, certainly folks coming downtown, staying at the hotel. It was called, it was a Holiday Inn at the time, maybe. And then it's that business seemed to drop off, and the TCC started to look a little bit old, and Rio Nuevo and the city, I think there was a partnership there, began the plan, the renovation. And I was at the ribbon cutting. I think you were there as well. And it was the renovation was pretty spectacular. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the I think there were so many pieces, again, of the the TCC, you know, two parking structures built, complete renovation of the TCC, ripping out and throwing the old ice plant in the trash can and redoing, you know, the complete arena, including all the ice. And, you know, it's, you know, NHL quality ice, et cetera. Upgrading all the telecommunications in there. You know, ECBO Fountain, you know, Garrett ECBO designed that years ago. It had not worked in, you know, over 30-plus years. I can't recall it ever working, to be quite honest. And nobody knew the history of it, what it was meant to do, a reflection of the watershed coming off of, you know, Mount Lemmon into all the way down into Romero's Pool. I mean, if you walk in, think about it, it's pretty cool. You know, the TCC hadn't been touched. That's all owned by Rio Nuevo. ECBO's not owned by Rio Nuevo. You know, the parking structures that we built, we actually built on one of them on city property. The music hall and Leo Ritz that we renovated were, again, city-owned, but we're allowed, Rio Nuevo was allowed to do that, and I think we all felt that we weren't going to be able to achieve a vision if we didn't, you know, take care of it. We didn't want to Band-Aid it. We didn't want to, you know, do anything that wasn't, you know, really strong. And I think it's reflection of the board. It was unanimous. You know, let's go get this thing done and what have you. So I think the board should be really proud of, you know, what happened, you know, over there. And I think you should also be proud of, you know, as we're talking about during the break, of bringing the memorial downtown, which then caused the entire area around the, you know, the old courthouse to be completely renovated, and all the water and features there are working. And it's a collaborative effort between, you know, all the government municipalities coming together to make that happen. I get a kick out of seeing what the YMCA's done, as I've mentioned. I love the mural that they spent a lot of time thinking about what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do that. And then I think it's also cool just the events that we have downtown. You know, I think the Greek Festival has been dormant for, you know, 8 years or so, hadn't it, Tom?
Yes.
And so it's getting started back up, and it's going to be like right before the Dust Music Festival, and it's going to be downtown. Dust Music Festival's downtown. The start of El Tour's downtown. The Arizona Bowl has a big deal downtown. I mean, Curtis, we were talking during the break about Rialto and the Century Room you know, at Hotel Congress and the Fox Theater, and we could go and, you know, and that, not that the convention center doesn't have amazing sound systems and venues and what have you itself. So I just think there's a lot of really positive energy, and, you know, you're getting ready to see a new Moxie Hotel that's getting ready to be built. That's, you know, Scott Steitler and crew are getting ready to, you know, to go and start on here pretty quickly. So I think just I think downtown is doing quite well, and I think there's a lot of energy and money going towards it.
Let's talk about Rotary, because Rotary had found its pathway into the DoubleTree, and but there was a group of folks, and I think probably led by you. Were you the president at the time of Rotary? Or?
No, I was president-elect.
Okay, president-elect, about bringing the downtown Rotary back to downtown. And I'm looking at two presidents here of Rotary. Both have retired from being the president, but certainly part of, if there is such a thing as the president's council, where each president seems to give a lot of mostly positive advice.
there actually is, and I will tell you, the past presidents, as Curtis knows, we met yesterday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And during summer, what do you think, Curtis? You chaired the meeting. What do we have, 25 people, past presidents there?
17.
Yeah, 17.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, pretty amazing. Here we are in the middle of summer and, you know, have that many people. You know, it's actually a great segue. You know, so the club, you know, just celebrated its 100th anniversary. It's now, 105 years old. And, you know, it's started downtown, was downtown forever, moved to the DoubleTree and east, you know, after 60-something years, and was east for 40 years. COVID happened. We weren't really meeting that, you know, like, I mean, everything was virtual, or when we did meet, it was a small little group. And, you know, between Bob Logan trying to hold down the fort and then Jennifer Hoffman, who was just absolutely amazing with everything that she did, is, you know, the only Rotary president that, you know, didn't get a break. At least Bob had a break. At least I had a break. But Jen, you know, one whole freaking year of COVID and just the way she held together. But anyway, during that time, we were doing the Rotary strategic plan, and we were also trying to say to ourselves, where are we going to go? And at the time, the DoubleTree really wasn't interested and wasn't responding. They had a whole set of stuff going on, and, you know, we really fell in love with Hacienda del Sol because they just were so great. Same thing with, you know, going up and spending time at, you know, our buddies up at the Gold Room and, you know, hanging out. I mean, we had so many great experiences out and looking at stuff. And, of course, about that time, we had just finished renovating the Tucson Convention Center. And, you know, I thought that the club should have it as one of the options that was that they should consider. And, you know, it was a lot of discussion about, you know, should we go up north? I would tell you, I felt strongly there's already five clubs up there that collectively aren't as large as our club is by itself, and where are we going to go and grow and, you know, what have you. And we just, I think, really came to the conclusion that we wanted to return to our roots. We wanted to go to the TCC. We wanted to, you know, realizing where, you know, the growth of the city was probably going to come from. We wanted to be downtown. So those were some of the decisions that were led to that. I think there were probably many more.
I have to say that Rotary and the YMCA and every community that I've lived in have been strong community partners. And I've had the opportunity to be invited to come to Rotary after I retired at Pima County. But I was a frequent guest of Arthur Alice and enjoyed it completely. And it's really the... I don't think they come out and ever say this in their recruitment, the who's who in Tucson, but clearly these are people that care, if I could say it that way, you know, about the community and what they do, and they give back. So we have one segment left, and we are the Morning Voice, and it's been wonderful to have you gentlemen here, but we'll be back for about 5 minutes to wrap this one up. Well, we're back, and this is the last segment, and again, thank you, both of you gentlemen, for joining us today. There was one thing we want to make sure we talk a little bit about, because the YMCA downtown, very important to our downtown community as well as the entire community here, just underwent a wonderful major renovation. And you know what? There was some discussion about, is this the place to stay?
Well, Well, yeah, back in 2017, we knew we needed to invest in our facilities. We needed to do some upgrades. And I think in the nonprofit world, that happens a lot, that you not covering depreciation and being able to keep things top-notch. But, you know, as a nonprofit, it's just a 501c3. It's just a tax status. That's all it is. We have to compete. And with all the WISE programs that we do, we compete with a lot of for-profits. So we decided, you know, we think we're pretty smart, but I know I'm not that brilliant. We had an outside consultant come in and look at all of our current facilities, look at potential sites and whether we should be investing in all, investing in one, major renovation, light refreshes. And the data came back that we should be focusing on downtown. Either we need to invest in downtown or we need to get out of downtown. And the board said, let's go. So we ended up doing raising over $4 million. I did about a $6 million renovation of our downtown Y and finished it. It'll be, I think it was 2022. October 22 is when we did the ribbon cutting. Maybe it was 23. Ever since COVID years, it's hard to remember years. But absolutely. It's beautiful. You know what? That Y has been serving so many people for so long. But now when you walk in that building, you know, I like to say it's not your great grandpa's Y anymore, right? It's current. It's fresh. Our older adults love it. The youth love it. We have a lot more like college age that are coming now because you want to be in a building that is nice and neat. And I'm a little OCD when it comes to our facilities because I believe a building tells you a lot about the culture of the organization. And when you walk into a building, it makes you feel a certain way, whether you notice that all the lights are the same color and that the floor is clean. Even if you don't notice it, it makes you feel. And the people we serve, I want people to feel special when they walk into our facilities. Those kids that, you know, are not having the, maybe they're having a tough upbringing, right? That they didn't get the best hand dealt to them. I want them to feel special when they walk into our building and have a future and a hope that they didn't have before they came to the YMCA. And, you know, on our downtown Y, you know, it's, we do lots of pickleball, which is indoor and air conditioned, which is, you know, nice for many months out of the year. We have a 6-lane lap pool and do lots of swim lessons and water exercise and group exercise and all of those pieces. But I'm so grateful for the support of the community. And unlike many downtown projects, you know, we don't charge tax, sales tax, you know, and so we were exempt from getting Rio Nuevo support to be able to do that renovation. But the community said, we need to have a downtown YMCA that's a part of a, you know, another jewel in the crown of downtown to be able to serve the community. Because like you said, you know, when it comes to Rotary, when it comes to the YMCA, that's one of the key hubs of community and people absolutely. Look to that.
We, you know, we've seen so many things leave downtown, but we've seen mostly so many things come to downtown. And it's so refreshing to have Rotary back at the TCC. We're all in small businesses and large businesses that are Rotarians. And coming downtown is, you know, maybe some of them hadn't been downtown for a while, you know, and hopefully now with all the new restaurants and bars and the hotels with the Moxie coming, and it just seems to... All of this renovation is continuing. I know there is a sunset for Rio Nuevo, but there's still a lot more to come under Rio Nuevo, and we hope maybe it'll be extended. You just never know. Well, I want to thank again you two gentlemen for coming. Very vibrant downtown. You guys are huge supporters of downtown. You bring people in from out of town to come and see our downtown, so we're so proud of our downtown. And we wanted to bring a little bit of, you know, light to how important it is to have that hub. Well, this is The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back with Crystal Moore, who is taking care of downtown for all of us, and she's making it shine even more. We'll be right back and with Crystal Moore. Well, good morning, everyone. We are back. This is our 8 o'clock hour. Had a rip-roaring conversation with Mark Irvin and Curtis Dawson, both strong supporters of downtown. Of course, Curtis runs all the Y's here in Southern Arizona, and he mentioned some of the reasons why they just stayed here in downtown and put $6 million back into the downtown Y. And it was a great opportunity. But we have someone in the studio. So if you drive downtown, and I understand that there's still some you know, folks that haven't gone downtown. We don't understand why. But I want to introduce you to my guest, Crystal Moore, who is the president and CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. Now, in full disclosure, we're in the same office that Fletcher McCusker and Peach Properties renovated back in the, we'll say 2011, 12, 13, somewhere around in that area. Historical building. And actually, there was an old truck shop that was in that building. Crystal, you and I think you're aware of that. And it ended up being a model of the modern-day pick-em-up trucks, as we all sometimes refer to them, as well. So lots of history downtown. And Crystal, you're kind of in charge of what I said, like the first impressions when you drive or walk to downtown. And that's been the Downtown Tucson Partnership for many years. Before we get into the history of Downtown Tucson Partnership, we want to know a little bit more about Crystal. So can you share with us some of your background, how you got involved in downtown, and then, of course, the big announcement last year or so when you switch from interim to the new CEO and president.
Sure, thank you. Well, I am not a native Tucsonan, but I didn't grow up far from here. Benson, Arizona is my hometown. I was born and raised there. Moved to Tucson in 1991. You know, as a young person starting out, had multiple jobs. Landed a career with Shamrock Foods for 8 years before I bumped into Buzz Isaacson and started my commercial real estate career in 2001, leasing and selling office space and related land with a primary focus in downtown. So I've been downtown, you know, working on commercial real estate and anything that is related to that since 2001. In 2013, I joined a development team that developed One East Broadway and One West Broadway. So I have a lot of knowledge on actual development from empty lots to, you know, 6 or 7 story buildings. I feel that that is a skill, and just having some background that I can help future interested developers or building operators to understand what that process is in Tucson. And then in 2013, we developed 24 apartments downtown. So now we have multi-housing in the core of downtown, which was a huge risk. No one really knew if people in Tucson would live vertically or understand parking in a garage before they get in an elevator and take the elevator to their home. So we've proven that model to be successful and developed several more communities, the Flynn, Rendezvous, the Gallery. There's lots of multi-housing opportunity downtown now. And in 2022, joined the Downtown Tucson Partnership as a board member. The following year, I became the board chair. And then we had a transition of CEO, president, and the board asked me to, as board chair, to step in and fill in as the interim until a permanent selection could be made. And about 3 weeks after I assumed that interim role, I gave a talk at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and the Cafecito. And I really loved the opportunity to engage the community and share what wonderful things we're doing downtown, and called Fletcher and said to him, hey, I think I might be interested in this as a permanent role. And he said, let's do it. So here we are.
Well, he made a wise decision, I think.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
You know, as I mentioned before Crystal came on, so downtown has seen several renaissance over the years, and we were on a roll, and then COVID hit, but we still through a little bit, and then when Real Nuevo kind of reactivated all the programs, once COVID was kind of, the fear was gone, we were on a roll. ACE, Marriott, and now the Moxie coming as well. So we continue to grow. But when you go downtown, there's some things that I think most people unconsciously look at. First of all, is this area clean? And I have to say, I think we have one of the cleanest downtowns. And we're going to talk, you know, about what is the primary responsibilities of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. But there's a lot of trust and faith in this organization. It started with a good friend, Donovan Durbin, which you probably read about a lot. Did you get a chance to meet Don?
Oh, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, fantastic. And we wanted a downtown not only thriving, but we wanted a downtown that truly represented kind of a clean and safe location to be entertained, to conduct business in. 'Cause economic development for most larger cities, without a vibrant downtown, it's really not a destination. And we've been this morning talked a little bit about urban tourism and what has happened now that we're proud of downtown. There's an overwhelming amount of cultural and entertainment activities downtown. We talked a little bit about the importance of folks living, playing, and working downtown. So I think Fletcher mentioned that there are now 4,000 units downtown. Amazing. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. It was 2,700. You know, so we're continuing to grow. This organization, tell us a little bit about exactly what your mission is.
Well, our mission is to make downtown a place for everyone. And in doing that, we need people to feel safe. There needs to be some type of activation. And we need our small business operators to thrive.
Yes.
And as those three things gain momentum together, we really create a community that wants to be together. And Downtown Tucson Partnership plays a role in that momentum with our ambassador program. Our primary responsibilities are the clean and safe. We have 22 ambassadors that are on the street 24/7 that are cleaning and removing graffiti and emptying trash cans. All of us have our visitor certification, so we can help people find their way to the visitor center or give them directions to, the U of A or how to use the streetcar to connect the four districts. And I like to think of us as concierges. We're really stewards of downtown that offer a concierge service.
Yeah, so I mentioned that we're in the same office, but truly, the office of Downtown Tucson Partnership is downtown with the purple people.
Yes. Was
that a name that you gave, or was that something that was already in place before you started?
People refer to our ambassadors as the purple people. They wear purple. Our logo color is purple, and they all wear purple. It makes us easy to identify out on the street. There's a continuity out there. But that came long before me.
Well, when you're downtown, you can't miss the purple people. They're cleaning, they're sweeping, they're watering, or they're just talking to people. And I think if you think about what's happened to downtown, not only because of Real Nuevo and all of the activities with the private sector, but the streetcar, and really connected the U with downtown. And of course, as you drive, if you're riding the streetcar, you're seeing the Fourth Avenue area as well. So there's quite a bit to do downtown, even though there's been a lot of stuff that's been added. You know, there's so much more to do with the Fox Theater, the Rialto Theater are all running really well now after COVID. We're waiting for some renovations that are going to take place to both areas. I think you're going to see the Fox take over. Is it almost a city block, or is it?
It's very close to a city block.
Well, whereas this theater will it's just it's already because you know historical theater that was renovated a few years back and to its original splendor, but now we're talking about taking this main city block downtown and expanding the Fox Entertainment Facility, and which again adds a significant cultural difference to us to other downtown development projects that are going on. And I have to, again, that built-in audience of the folks that are living downtown, they do go down that elevator and enjoy a dinner out every once in a while, don't they?
They certainly do. I actually lived at One East Broadway for 6 years on the sixth floor. And now I have too many dogs to live there. But it was a really, my husband and I were empty nesters, which is kind of the bullseye demographic that's calling downtown home. And it was really lovely for us to be our first time empty nesters in the downtown area, because we kind of just started dating again and figured out that we still liked each other after, you know, raising two kids. And date night was really easy. Or if we opted to stay in, it was just as easy to stay in.
So hold that thought. We got to go to our commercials. And this is The Morning Voice. And our special guest for the 8 o'clock hour is Crystal Moore, and she's the president and CEO of Downtown Tucson. A lot more to talk about downtown because there's a new plan that's in place. I think, Crystal, it's probably hard sometimes to keep up with what Rio Novello is doing here, but it'll be anxious to hear you what you think about adding another hotel, the Moxie, coming. And, of course, there's always more restaurants and craft breweries that are moving downtown as well. So we'll be right back. I'm Tom Moulton, your host, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. Well, we're back. This is Tom Moulton, your host of this The Morning Voice, and our guest this morning at 8 o'clock is Crystal Moore. And we're talking about downtown Tucson and urban tourism, having a sense of place to any geographical region is a huge plus if you're in the tourism business. And there are probably certain built-in, you know, perceptions about any town before you go there. And of course, many of the folks that have never been to Tucson are still pronouncing it as Tuxcan, and they understand, they think it's brown all the time. And for all of us that have moved here and realized that we are truly in a living desert, and that we are a city of commerce and in a diverse population, and we're working very hard to make sure downtown is truly the hub of our region. Second largest city in Arizona, lots and lots of history that we've talked about at the 7 o'clock between the railroad decided to come to Tucson, not 2.5 miles away, to the renovation of the home, to the train depot, to the streetcar coming in, and then Rio Nuevo being developed by the state legislature to help us grow here. And then Fletcher McCusker returns to Tucson to lead a group of wonderful people that care about where they live. And they understand the development of a sense of place. Now, who's behind the scenes that makes sure that when you come to downtown Tucson, you are welcomed and you feel safe and it's clean and beautiful And the news about downtown is positive, not without challenges, but there's a group of people that really are working very hard, and they're called the Purple People. And we talked a little bit about that during the first break. But so look, we're going to get in, Crystal, a little bit into the meat of the operation of the downtown. There's got to be, and maybe you could, is there organizations like this in every successful downtown, or have we built the model and people are following us?
We are not the leader here. There is an organization, International Downtown Association, which Downtown Tucson Partnership is a member of. We're actually going to their annual conference at the end of September. Our Downtown Tucson Partnership team is traveling to Washington, D.C. to see what other urban cores are doing throughout the world, not just Arizona and not just the United States. And that shared knowledge, none of us have to reinvent the wheel. We take good valued lessons from other cities and see how they could fit here in our very special, unique community. Not all of them, all of those ideas do, but there's a lot of good stuff out there to activate different areas and for different demographics, and that's going to help continue our team to be successful.
Now, so downtown, the Purple People.
Yes.
We established that they are all certified tourism ambassadors, mm-hmm. Which means they have a wealth of information, not only about downtown Tucson, but the region, which is great because we are the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. So we promote the entire region. But I think, though, our hub is certainly downtown Tucson. I've been here since 2001 with Pima County, and I was in charge of their tourism program and economic development program for a while. And, you know, so I'm a little bit, biased about, why I enjoy working in downtown Tucson. So, but behind the scenes, there's this organization that was started by a lovely person that we all recall, and he passed away unexpectedly, and Donovan Durbin. He was I don't know if he was a city employee at that time when he started the other name, which still was like downtown
Downtown Tucson Alliance.
That's right. Yeah, and it started. You know, obviously, a lot of the merchants were already working together, but I think he really pulled it together, and mm-hmm. and the new iteration of the partnership, has been very successful and been around. It's kind of like it's more than a merchant association. Absolutely right. I mean,
absolutely.
You are part of a district, a business district, mm-hmm. Which has a lot of benefits. But you do work with the merchants on a day-to-day basis. But all of the if you think about the things that the merchants have asked you to do, I think it does fit nicely with your mission statement that you brought up at the first segment.
Yes. We have wonderful, strong partnerships with the merchants downtown. They know we're here to support their guests and help them be successful. Our funding partners, City of Tucson, Pima County, and Rio Nuevo, they all understand that when a downtown thrives, it lifts the whole community up. It means more jobs, more opportunities for those small businesses or merchants, and a place where people can gather. That energy spills over, like you've said, Tom, to the whole region.
It does, certainly. And I think there's not a meeting that I go to and I ask people, when was the last time you were downtown? And, you know, there are some challenges, but they're not necessarily reality. Like, there's no place to park. That
there's plenty of places to park.
I remember when my boss, Mr. Huckleberry, was planning on building the new service center, and the courts were all supposed to be moving there. And kind of at the last minute, he goes, we got this land next door. Let's even though it's not true, let's build one more garage, okay? And maybe the last parking garage, but that wasn't true, of course, because the TCC built parking garages as well. A lot more to talk about. It goes really quick, Crystal, but we hear the music in the background.
Yep.
And that means that we need to say goodbye for about 4 minutes, and we'll be back with Crystal Moore from the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and we're going to talk a little bit about the future and some of the initiatives that the Downtown Tucson Partnership has communicated to the community, and we're looking forward to their execution. This is the Morning Voice. And thank you, Matt. Before we get going, Tim Vemberstedt is our co-host, and he's been listening. And Tim, we're going to interrupt the discussion just for a few moments. And there's a couple of events that I want you to talk about, but I want you to start from the bottom up and talk a little bit about what's happening with Strolls and Stories.
All right. I'm wheeling in. I'm not paralyzed, so I'm wheeling into my computer. We have Downtown Tucson Guided Walking Tours by Strolls and Stories. It's going to be Wednesday, September 3rd at 8:30 a.m. And it's, you know, it's pretty cool. I didn't know how cool downtown was until I started working for Visit Tucson. When we'd walk out for lunch every day and enjoy the great restaurants and pretty cool place. And then we have Chilling at the Chule, live music, spirits, bites. Our friend Patrick Fahey is the chef there. And it's their last weekend. They've partnered with the Children's Museum of Oro Valley to provide family-friendly nature play on Saturdays. So it's free admission. Just bring a couple of bucks so you can get some good food and cocktail. And then cool summer nights. Last summer nights at the Desert Museum. It's 6 to 10 p.m. Saturday. At the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. So highly recommend that one. It's just a great way to spend an evening with a little cooler temperatures out in the Tucson Mountains.
Great.
Our old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tim, you know, we got a new website we want to add to finding more of what there is to do in town. And that's the Downtown Tucson Partnership has developed a portion of their website that talks about all the events that are downtown. And how do we get to that site? Crystal, what's the URL?
DowntownTucson.org. And up in the right-hand corner is the event calendar.
That's great. And we were searching for events downtown before you agreed to come on. And that's when we found, you know, obviously the 250th birthday celebration and mm-hmm. how there's some excellent downtown tours. They're both members of the SAAA. Tim, the Tucson Presidio, of course, where all the activity of the 250th birthday started back in 1775, I think it was.
That's right.
And then... they do tours are all around the area. And then I think, though, their tours have been joined by Strolls and Stories, a good friend of ours, and who does a different kind of historical perspective on his tours. And they're both great tours, and both groups and local residents can take advantage of this. They're on the Southern Arizona Attractions website, TucsonAttractions.com. Plenty of things to do, Tim, right, in downtown.
Oh, yeah. Downtown, I'm an East Sider, and I was so surprised at how much there was to do downtown.
Yeah, you know, the craft breweries have been a big part of downtown, and they continue to grow. And obviously, I think Fletcher is very impartial to entertainment and restaurants, and the Tucson City of Gastronomy certification has really enjoyed much success. And on our website, you'll learn about all of the Tucson certified of gastronomy restaurants as well. There's probably over 60 now. Many of them are downtown. Our chefs are very unique here, Crystal, aren't they? It seems like I've never lived in a community where the chefs collaborate.
You know, that just goes back to our entire community being sensitive to each other and tapping into each other's skill sets and wanting the whole entire community to be successful and sharing in that wealth of knowledge and experience.
We probably should make sure that you have a board of directors that give you guidance. And they're made up of a pretty diverse collection of folks here in town, aren't they?
Diverse, and it's just a wealth of knowledge and experience. Again, I'm so fortunate that I can tap into so much diversity and experience and history and information and how things have been done, what could be done. I have support of those 37 people, and every day we work hard to make them proud of our mission and our goals and our values. And I should say that our value system is also supported by the board, which rolls over to the community and how our employees interact with our board, as well as our employees interact with the public. We have had, you know, several of our employees have been part of Downtown Tucson Partnership since 2009. We have longevity with our ambassadors. They're local, love their community, aren't getting rich doing what they're doing, but they love it, and they want the visitors to downtown to have a good experience.
Now, shortly before, I think just maybe it seemed like 2 days, but you had to go in front of Rio Nuevo,
yep.
You're one of your funders and certainly one of your partners, and give kind of an annual report as well as your vision for the future. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough time to talk about the whole annual report, but I think most importantly, after your engagement, both from the board side and now as the chief executive officer, you offered a plan full of lots of vision.
Yes, I'm sorry, Tom, did you want to finish?
No, go ahead. Okay. I mean, because I was like, wow, when I was there, because I knew you had, you know, you just started.
Well, it all starts with safety. Safety creates confidence, and confidence fuels prosperity. When people know downtown is safe, they stay longer, they spend more money, and they keep coming back. And that's what drives growth for all of our businesses. And that's a successful downtown. So knowing those things, I had to come up with ideas on how we can create that safety perspective and beyond the safe ambassadors or the purple people. And that is through partnerships with Rio Nuevo and the Tucson Police Department. And Rio Nuevo gave us or has allocated a little over $600,000 a year for off-duty officers. In April, they handed me the torch, if you will, and I now manage that $600,000 and those 26 weekly scheduled off-duty officers that are now staying until 3 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights, which is amazing. We've initiated Together Tucson, which brings all the bars together and shares an ID scanner software program that can tell each bar who's been naughty, who's been nice. That information share is extremely helpful.
If I could, so I mentioned I was at a recent meeting with Fletcher, and he talked a little more in detail about that. Is basically, when you go out to downtown, they scan your driver's license, and obviously, most of them are legal. Occasionally, they found one, like I had probably when I was 19. but if you had trouble at one of those restaurants or bars, it's on the system, and you're barred.
Yes,
it's wonderful.
Yeah. So if I was misbehaving in Chela's and was asked to leave and left, and then crossed Arizona Alley into Highwire, and they scanned my, and literally this is 20 yards away from each other, and they scanned my ID, they would know that Chela's just asked me to leave. And that bar operator at that point would be Highwire. They would have the opportunity to either let me in or not, and they wouldn't, because they, all these participating operators are committed to providing a safe, happy, celebratory space for their guests. And one bad apple will not ruin the night for everybody else.
Now, I should add that Fletcher did say that there is a 30-day kind of, there is a process.
Yep.
If you want to be reconsidered. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a ban for life.
No.
You know, and if you were silly one evening, you know, which we all have been, once or twice. But you don't have to be banned for life. You can just, you know, state your case. And I would imagine there's a pretty heavy percentage of the folks that come under reconsideration.
They do. They ask for reinstatement. They tell us what, you know, they share the situation with us. And, you know, based on what the infraction is, you know, we could ask them to be banned for 6 months or a year. But it's actually, the community has really surrounded this and taken it very well.
Yeah, I think that coupled with the presence of the police till 3 o'clock,
it's a huge
that's
help.
Gone a long way for folks feeling. Now there are large crowds on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which helps as well. I think you guys kind of hit it head on to make sure we don't get into that where we make the news.
Right. So in addition to the Together Tucson scanners, we also use heat maps provided by the Tucson Police Department to identify what times of days and what days more activity is downtown where we need that larger presence. And we work with the district officers and create that schedule. And it's fluid. It's always changing based on what the market's telling us we need.
We have to go to one final break. Crystal, thank you. I mean, that was important that we were able to communicate that. It goes along with your number one part of your mission statement to make sure there's a safe and secure downtown. And that, you know, it's every community, but there's so much that's going on here. I think it gives a sense of place that is safe and secure. So thank you very much for that. We'll be right back with Crystal in a couple minutes. And don't forget, Dr. Ackley will be here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We're back for one final segment with our guest, Crystal Moore, who's the president and CEO of Downtown Tucson Partnership. So if you drive downtown and you see how clean it is, you can give Crystal a call. Or actually tell one of the purple people and thank them, because you'll see them as soon as you go into the downtown boundaries. And, you know, there's so many ways to get downtown. the city of Tucson continues to give us support, paving the roads and just make it simpler. We're going to have that their completion of, we call it a diagonal highway. We can't wait for that to be finished, where you can go from the east side all the way to I-10 in a lot quicker time. You know, we don't have with circle highways. We miss that opportunity, unfortunately. So we're trying to do it with diagonal highways. And Mr. Huckleberry, when I worked with him, was very adamant about adding less traffic lights, so traffic would keep moving. Now there's one or two things that Crystal wants to share with us before we go for the today. So go ahead, Crystal. What's some of the other thoughts you had?
One of the other things I wanted to share, and it's related to the safety initiative and funded by Rio Nuevo, is our Safe Ride Home program. So we are collaborating with Uber and Lyft, the other rideshare providers. And between 1:30 a.m. and 2 a.m., I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's 12:30 a.m. until 2 a.m., Rio Nuevo will be funding a coupon if you call for a ride home in our downtown geofence area. So for those of you who want to get out of downtown during that time period, when you call for your vehicle, you'll be given a coupon to help you get home safely. So that's a big thank you to Rio Nuevo, investing and keeping our community safe. And the other last thought I have is, for those of you who reside outside of our downtown or midtown, I'm calling out all of those in Oro Valley and Marana, Sarita, Green Valley, our entire community, please help us make downtown yours. There's so much to do, from the festivals to dinner out, date night, children, family events, the Dusk Festival's coming, the Greek Festival. If you want to have a beautiful dinner at Bada and then go to the Century Room and have a nightcap at Juniper, there is really something for everyone downtown. And I personally invite you to come and enjoy and make our downtown the hub for our region.
Yeah, and the Tucson Meet Yourself is probably the biggest one coming up in October.
Yep.
And it's been somewhat reimagined. Okay, I'm not sure we're gonna have them on the show before the festival, and we can get some more information out to you. But bringing the Greek festival back after 8 years of being gone and having it come downtown, it's if you like Greek food, I love Greek food, it's really super. And there's a lot down the, certainly the Saturday nights are still going on, correct?
Those are no longer going on, tagging to your the cross highway thing, once Lynx is opened,
okay, yes,
I believe we'll be bringing a version of Second Saturdays.
That's
back.
Great. I'm glad. I'm glad we heard it here that it's a good chance of it coming back. Well, we want to thank you, Crystal, for being here and talking more about
urban
tourism. My pleasure. And you're doing a great job. If you want to get involved, you can go to their website.
Yep, downtowntucson.org.
And there's a great calendar of events there. We're going to continue on this show to talk about the unique types of tourism. Clearly, our